The following podcast is a production of ART Studios and the El Paso Community College Department of Art, El Paso, Texas. Classroom Shorts is a podcast recorded in the classroom where students take a break from their work to talk about art. From the campuses of El Paso Community College and the Department of Art, it's Classroom Shorts.
My name is Perla Herrera, and I am majoring in graphic design. I started drawing around third grade. I just watched this TV show that I really liked, so I just like traced and copied images from it. And I used to trace on napkins, actually. But then I began tracing on actual paper. And yeah, I liked it. And then I practiced. I traced until I could actually do it myself. And then I copied, and then I actually did it without needing to cheat.
I think you just intuitively were doing what a master does, and that's looking at others' work and seeing how things have relationships. And
yeah, essentially it's not cheating, it's more like using things to help you and using things as a reference.
Yeah, absolutely. Tools. What do you love about drawing?
What I really like about it is that you can create whatever you want, and there's no limits to what you can create. Some people draw like really creepy stuff and things that like just don't exist, things that have like weird shapes and forms, but like I love it. You don't have the same bounds that you have on reality, so you can really get out of the box and make weird shapes.
Art is invention.
Yeah. You know, even for real inventions, you have to draw it before you make it.
And that's what drawing is, a kind of a thinking medium, isn't it?
It's like communicating thoughts that can't be put into words.
I agree. So why is drawing important in general, do you think?
Well, it's what we were talking about. We have to use art and drawing to discuss the things that we don't know how to put into words. So it's important for communication, not only for emotional communication, you know. Sometimes when we're sad, we need something sad or happy to look at. But also when we're working on something and per se we're inventing something, we need to draw it in order to get information across each other.
I agree. Well said.
Thank you.
So how does drawing benefit your life outside of art?
Well, it benefits it in many ways. One thing, that when you draw, you meet people that like to draw as well, and those people have connections, you know, so it helps you actually find a career. And even when you meet other people through drawing, they also do other stuff. They're like, oh, hey, I do dubbing for fun. Do you want to join my hobby? And I'm just like, yes, I want to join your hobby. So I get a lot of what I do now, I got it through meeting people that also draw. And then also, like, just mentally, it helps a lot. Like, when you're angry, you can just go ahead and doodle. It doesn't have to make sense. And it just keeps your mind out of the real problems that you have for a little while.
Good point. Maybe it'll lead you out of something, or maybe it'll lead you into something.
Yeah, exactly. And when you're drawing and your mind goes blank, you have time to actually absorb what you're doing in life. And then maybe something good will come out of it. Like maybe you'll figure out a solution to a problem that you haven't thought of before.
That is so true.
Yeah, and like when you see Leonardo's drawings, you can almost see him thinking through the drawings. Because in some of it, you can see lines that lead to nowhere, but they're kind of like the sketching lines that he made. Going back to what we've been saying, he has a lot of stuff that looks very mechanical, and it's stuff like we've never seen before, like when he did that machinery of a bird's wing.
Yes.
Yeah. It's something like you haven't seen before, but it makes sense in a way. But you can see him thinking. You can see his thoughts going into the paper.
And he was creating something that wasn't there before.
Yeah.
So far, what is your favorite aspect about this drawing class?
About this particular drawing class?
Yes.
Like, I think the particular highlight about this is that so far, from what I know, we get to practice the medium before we actually do something that we want. So we get to do like a still life first. And then after, once we mastered the medium, we get to do actually that something that we actually like.
So do you find that beneficial?
Yes, because right now we're doing ink drawings and I'm finding them super difficult. But it's helpful that I'm doing like this still life first to like practice and do the techniques, focus on the techniques more than I'm focusing on the drawing. That way later when I already master the technique, I can focus now on making something better, making an actual drawing that communicates an actual thought.
But just also remember, nothing's sacred.
Yeah.
You can always crumple it up and throw it away.
I know. I just crumpled a paper.
Oh, good for you. I'm glad that you find this approach helpful. Are you planning on maybe getting your master's in art or in graphic design?
I'm playing it by ear, basically. Right now, what I'm studying for is an associate's in graphic design for advertising.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see first if I can get a job with that and then see if that job provides other opportunities. And if it doesn't, we'll save up to go and do the bachelor's for graphic design.
Good plan.
Yeah.
I find it really interesting how you attack art. That's the only word I can...
I punch it in the face.
Yes, you do. You punch it in the face. You just dive right in. Sometimes drawing with one hand, then drawing with the other, and you're constantly moving. I wanted to ask you how you feel about your approach to art.
Well, my approach is... always depend on the medium. But yeah, usually I'm always moving. And it's not really approach. It's more that I get really bored easily. So if I keep moving, if I keep active, I won't get bored. And also for a lot of mediums, my philosophy is like, just do it. If it comes out wrong, just redo it. It's okay. So, you know, better give it your 100% and then your 50%, you know?
We often think that drawing is just the movement of our hand and that tool. It's our entire body. The movement that you put into your art physically shows up in your art making, in your mark making. The marks on your page have a lot of energy. You must be really worn out after drawing class.
Just a little. Like, I take a lot of breaks between drawings, but yeah, basically I'm like dancing with the paper, because I don't know, primarily when I start, I'm not focusing on the detail, I'm more focused on the shapes and the forms. And if you lose yourself up, you get better at making interesting forms, you know. And yeah, like you said, you can feel the energy in the drawing, and that's always something that makes your drawing more stand out.
It's so easy to make something too stiff. I mean, I think we've all done it.
Yeah.
And it just sits there.
You're looking at it and you're like, oh, it's nice, but it's missing a little bit of sauce.
There you go, sauce. Movement and sauce. Great way to put it.
I want to ask you, like, how does art benefit your life? Because you have more experience in art, I suppose, since you're teaching.
Yes, that's a good guess. I started making art. Actually, I just started making things in elementary when I was a kid. You know, I'd like to draw a lot. So I was drawing all the time. And I had an uncle who was an art teacher who kind of supported me. And then I found out at school that I could trade my drawings for things. So I had some kind of currency, you know. Then marbles were real popular. People would play those marbles.
In
a circle.
Definitely.
So I'd say, well, you know, I'll make a drawing for two or three of those marbles, you know, or my favorite marble there. And so sometimes I could trade drawings for that, or maybe extra fries at lunch or something, you know.
Ooh, that's worth it. Extra fries. Yeah.
And then I just kept drawing. I chickened out about getting an art degree in the beginning because I thought I, you know, couldn't make a living at it. And so I had a 22-year detour. And finally one day, I was sitting behind a desk and I thought, what am I doing? I really want to teach it, too, because of the influence of my uncle. My dad was a science teacher, but he was also an artist and still is. What inspires me about art is that invention we were talking about earlier. Something can be made that wasn't there before. Because that's what artists do. We rearrange the world as we see it.
Exactly.
And we get to share that with other people, and that's what we practice all of our life. Getting better at articulating our ideas, to say, hey, the sky's purple today. And,
like it or not, he's purple.
That's right. Like it or not. It's purple in my world. And, you know, there are a lot of people who will like it, and there are a lot of people who won't. So I do both making art, and I find it equally rewarding to teach others art.
Yeah, it's fun. It's extremely fun to watch somebody begin a drawing and see it in a way and be like, I'm not sure how that's going to come out. But then in the end, you're like, oh, my God. That's beautiful.
You know, I think you would make a good art teacher.
I would, honestly.
Yes, you would. You're hired.
Thank you. How much am I being paid? Yeah, sometimes I do like little tutorials or videos of stuff that I know, and then I'll just post them on the internet because it's fun to help people, and then it's fun to see how when you help others, they put a spin into what you teach them. They're like, oh yeah, I'm going to use the techniques you showed me, and then I'm going to add some more. And then you're like, oh my God, I didn't think of that. Yeah, and the thing about drawing, and really about anything, is that you never stop learning from it. You can literally connect drawing to anything. Like you said that you studied engineering. Well, I see that you make sculptures, and I imagine that you have connections between engineering and drawing. You know, like your engineering skills help your drawing skills.
They do, and I love music too, so I incorporate that in there too. And what other disciplines or interests show up in your work?
That's a really good question. I guess, because for me, everything pertains in the drawing world, I guess. I relate everything to that. But in my drawing, you can see a lot of references to other people's work, to their comics, to their cartoons. And outside of that, as well, like music, I knew this student who did drawings based on what he heard. So he would hear a song and then he would make a drawing of that. So I try to incorporate that too. When I do a lively drawing, I listen to really happy music, really happy J-pop. And then, when I make a sad drawing, I'm going to listen to, songs from emotional songs. I don't want to say emo, but bands that, classified themselves as emo in the 2000s, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And yeah, and then, like I said, like everything connects to everything. When you go outside, everything that you see is going to connect to art and to drawing. The buildings you see, those had to be drawn to be built. Yeah, like, when you actually think about it, there's so many things that influences your art.
That's a very good point. You know, artists don't make art in a bubble. It's the context of our lives. You know, it's the world we live in. And it always has been that way. You know, we can look back at centuries through the centuries, artists who paint, and they are, you know, they are a product of their world that they lived in, and they created art similar to, you know, that had reference to the world they lived in. Have you ever tried finding someone who writes music? They could write some music and you could interpret it or just be inspired by it and draw, and then maybe they could take one of your drawings and make music from it.
I haven't thought about it in the way that I do a drawing and they make music from them, but that would be super interesting. But I've heard songs. I haven't asked anybody specifically, like, hey, could you write something? I used to play violin, and I was really bad at it, so I don't play it anymore. But that kind of inspires my movement, you know, the movement of the bow. I try to replicate it with the pencil, you know, because it's just really beautiful and graceful. Music specifically is so inspiring to art, and it's a fun challenge. Like, just listen to a song, don't think of anything, draw what you feel when you listen to the song. But yeah, that's interesting. Now I want to ask somebody to make a song out of a drawing.
I want to hear it when you're done. Yeah, you know, and that crossover, I think, is fun. It's the collaboration. So many collaborations are possible in the world. With my art, I work with scientists. I work with one of the EPCC professors, and he teaches physics up at TM, and he interprets some of my art. I built a sculpture, and he played it. And I love the data that he has. You know, he comes up with all the scientific data, and it's like, what can I do artistically with that data?
It inspires me.
Yes.
I need to draw.
Yeah. So I think that those are good experiments to have. You know, and even I'd love to hear what you do. And even a live performance, because you attack, or like you said, you punch the art. That's an interesting performance. Someone playing music and you attacking the page and them attacking the instrument. Wow.
Almost like a play.
Yeah.
A theater. Yeah. Featuring me and also me. Thank you.
It's kind of like punk. It would be like this amazing punk concert.
Yeah, and in itself, if we were to do that show itself would be classified as art.
It would.
Yeah.
Performance art.
Exactly.
And you should film it because I want to watch it or be invited.
All right. I'll invite you.
Okay.
Crowd of one.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I'm just kidding.
I bet you guys would have, it'd be sold out.
It would. Don Haskins Centers. Yeah. El Paso, 2025.
I like the way you think.
Thank you. Something that you were mentioning before that I want to talk about is that you were saying that you kind of derailed from art. And that's something I see a lot with my other friends, that they like to draw too, but they go into another career because they don't think that they can make a career in art. And a lot of times that thinking comes through somebody else's head. Most of the time, for most of those friends, it's their parents that tell them, like, no, you can't study art. You'll be poor. You won't make a living out of it. And then I have the luck to have parents that are like, you know what? Do whatever you want. Just study and go to school, please. Thank you. And the thing is that you can actually find a lot of careers in art, especially today, because we have an abundance of technology, abundance of video games. It's blowing up right now. And the internet, everything that you see, you go outside. And everything that you see, it's related to art. Like I said, the buildings, they had to be drawn. You see billboards everywhere. They had to be designed. You see movies, those animated movies, they have a lot of animators working on it. And even the movies that aren't animated, they have to do concept art for it, you know? There's a lot of careers in art. Don't let anybody tell you, like, no, you can't do this because you won't find success. You won't find success if you do something you don't want to do.
Very good point. Maybe we as educators and institutions, you know, could do a better job of informing people how you can make money. Like you're saying, with all the technology out there, we need creative people doing all those things.
Exactly. In high school, I wasn't really pursuing art as a career. I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I was taking a theater tech class, and then I got out because it wasn't really what I wanted it to be. And I got into art into art class just so that I can have a class to fill in. And then in that art class, the teacher had this poster and it says all the careers in art. And it was a pretty big poster. And I'm like, oh my God, I like drawing. Maybe I could pursue something in this long list.
I'm so glad they pulled that out, because as human beings, we do want to make things and we want to make things better. And art can help do that in so many different ways.
Exactly. And as instructors and as parents, as role models, we need to inspire children and teenagers and whomever that they can expand their wings, you know. For students, I recommend take classes that are out of your comfort zone, because maybe you'll find something that you really, really like, or maybe those classes will help on what you're doing right now.
You know, it's so important to take ourselves out of the comfort zone, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a little painful sometimes, a little scary.
This ink drawing's a pain.
Oh, but you're tackling it, and you're taking a very methodical way of doing that by mapping out things. And that's good.
Exactly, because everybody thinks differently, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why every drawing is different from each other. I haven't met, like, two artists that have the same techniques always. Like, it's always like, oh, hey, I use a glove so I don't smudge the page. Or, like, oh, I just don't touch the page. Or I use a Kleenex.
Oh, there's so many ways to do it. And if you get a grad degree, you'll probably sit in a room sometime and they're going to have a conversation where they're asking, should we even have art schools? And, you know, it's a thought experiment, and it's kind of a good discussion to have. And this is coming from me, an art professor, so sometimes I wonder, should we have art schools? And then sometimes I'm like, yes, absolutely, we should have an art school. But the thing is I think it's how we teach art. If you think about it, can you really teach creativity? You can teach methods. You can teach how to do things. You can give people tools. You can teach practices, how to practice something. But in general, can you really teach that invention? And so some people will say, well, we can't teach invention, so why even have an art school? But really what I think we're doing as instructors is teaching how to be articulate with a language of visual art, to say things correctly. I mean, if you want to jumble up all the words like a poet will do to give you this beautiful new vision, then that's okay. The poet had to learn the words first.
I was thinking about what you said, that you can't teach creativity. And I think that's true. You can't teach it. But you can show people how to grow their creativity, and you can inspire them, perhaps. Showing them how you see the world might inspire them, and that helps them grow their creativity, and it helps them create more, you know? If you go to art school and you have conversations with people, you'll inspire yourself so much more. If you speak to three people, you will be inspired three times more. Even if you dislike those people, they'll make you think that you'll be like, oh, I hate that guy. I'm going to make a drawing to transform my hate, you know?
And they got you to do it. Yes. You made a wonderful point there. You're absolutely right that inspiring and leading creativity, you may not be able to place that creativity in somebody, but you can pull out what's there.
Exactly. You can open paths. For my drawing one class, my teacher, he was a pretty strict teacher, but he helped me like so much. Like before, I used to draw just in a cartoony style, and it was not because I just want to draw in a cartoony style. It's because I just knew how to do that, you know?
Right.
But through his teachings, he was like, hey, you have to look at this and actually look at this. Don't worry if the drawing isn't good. Just look at it, see the proportions. And do it. Just do it. And I got a lot of like my philosophies and the way that I move from his class. We didn't have drawing courses, so we had to do the drawing standing up. I got my moving a lot from there.
Yeah.
Right now, it's the first time that I've drawn like in the drawing horse. And I found it like actually more difficult. I guess I got accustomed to the way. But like everybody has their own way of doing things. And that teacher helped me a lot. He opened a lot of pathways for me. And right now, he's my mentor. And like a lot of the stuff that I can do, he like taught me how to do it. And I put my spin in it. I'm like, okay, I'm going to put these values in it. But I'm also going to exaggerate them a little bit just to add that little sauce to that drawing.
Who is your teacher and mentor?
Mr. Santos, Marco Santos. He mm-hmm. teaches right now at Trans Mountain. Because it's the way that he teaches, like, all of his students make awesome stuff. Like, I just look at them and be like, oh, I wish I would be at that level.
Uh-huh.
But then sometimes I look at my drawing and I'd be like, well, I guess I'm at that level. So it really depends on the thoughts that you put in it.
He really is a great teacher.
I don't know. I could just keep talking and talking.
I know. I tell you what, we're about to run out of time. Maybe you would have an idea for a podcast that, you know, and you'd want to start your own show.
Yeah, it's always something that I've thought about, you know, because I have the microphone there. But like doing it alone, it gets lonely. It's like so much funner when you talk to other people because then you actually make a conversation, you know.
Yeah.
When you're alone, I love talking to myself, but it's a little bit awkward doing it in front of the phone. I'm just like, hey, Perla, how are you? Oh, well, I'm not doing so well, Perla. You know, Perla with Perla.
Yes, it's a hit.
Yeah, I have so many ideas coming out from this podcast. I have to do a show with music. I have to do a podcast now.
Seriously. So what we're doing is we're having, there's going to be people who have their own shows, and it'll be all under what we call ART Studios. You can have your own show. It could be one time, or it could be a series, however you would like to do it.
Oh, that's awesome. I would definitely love to do a series.
The great thing about podcasts is you don't have to worry about time. You know, it can be any length of time. So it can be 10 minutes or it can be an hour.
It'll be 24 hours. Okay. 7 days a week. I'll never stop talking. Just kidding. I have to sleep.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We're recording from Drawing Team, and it's been such a wonderful pleasure visiting with you.
Thank you for inviting me to talk right here. Oh,